Welcome back to the deep dive. You gave us the stack of research, the market analysis, and all the historical notes, and now we're here to give you the shortcut to being, well, truly informed. Today, we're doing a fascinating deep dive. We're looking into a segment of the natural wellness market that is just seeing explosive growth here in the U.S.
It really is. We're talking about herbal supplements for respiratory comfort.
Exactly.
And it's a category defined by consumers moving toward these, you know, uncomplicated nature-based supports. Yep. Especially during seasonal transitions.
But that popularity, it brings a real challenge, right? Market saturation.
A huge challenge.
So our focus today is on one of the leading herbs that's really driving this trend. We're talking about mullein, specifically in that liquid drop format.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been provided with materials that use a key brand, Nutriharmony Mullein Drops for Lungs, kind of as a benchmark to define what true quality looks like in a very, very crowded field.
So what's the mission here? We're going to give you the specific criteria for assessing, you know, integrity and efficacy, moving beyond just simple marketing claims.
Okay.
We need to understand not just what mullein is, but what a high-quality product is doing, and critically, what it's avoiding. That way you can quickly filter out the budget players.
Okay, let's unpack this, starting with mullein 101.
Let's do it.
When we talk about mullein, we're referring to the herbal extract that comes from the Verbascum thapsus plant. It's a really striking plant, fuzzy, tall, yellow flowers.
Yeah, you've probably seen it.
And it is definitely not a modern invention.
Not at all. Its history is really deep. It stretches across cultures. I mean, we tend to think of it now just for respiratory support, but the sources show it was used in traditional Roman, Greek, and Native American practices.
For what, though?
Well, it was valued less for a really strong effect and more for its mild, soothing properties.
And what gives it that reputation for, you know, gentle support? Our research points to a few key compounds. I think it was the mucilages and saponins.
Yeah.
That's the valuable technical nugget right there. Mucilages are basically complex carbs that get kind of gelatinous when they're wet, offering a protective, soothing layer.
Ah, I see.
And this gentle action, combined with the lack of serious side effects, is precisely why interest in mullein has just surged in the modern U.S. context.
Mm-hmm.
People want natural options for breathing comfort when the seasons change.
And they're turning back toward these established botanicals.
Mm-hmm. And when they turn toward it, they often land on the liquid drop format.
Yeah, why that delivery method? Why not, say, capsules or teas?
Well, it's convenience and bioavailability. The liquid format, the drops, is extremely easy for users to just add into a daily routine. You know, often just in a glass of water.
Okay.
But chemically, it allows for quicker absorption compared to a solid capsule that your digestive system has to break down.
Plus, you get a controlled dosage.
Exactly. You can precisely tailor the amount you take.
So that brings us to our first major hurdle for you as a listener, as a discerning learner.
Yeah.
The market challenge. Because the barrier to entry for making these liquid drops is, well, it's pretty low, so the market is completely flooded.
It is precisely that. We see a significant saturation of products, and it's largely driven by these small private labels.
Which creates a quality assessment nightmare for the consumer.
Totally. When a category explodes this fast, quality control often, you know, struggles to keep up.
So let's define the lower end options then, the contrast. If we look at what the research flags as common problems in typical budget mullein drops, what are the red flags?
There are three common corner-cutting tactics. First is a reliance on multi-herbal blends.
Okay.
Now, blends can be synergistic, but they often aren't standardized.
Right.
That means you don't know the exact concentration of the active mullein extract you're actually getting.
So it's basically dilution by design. You might be paying mostly for cheaper filler herbs.
You got it.
What about the processing side of things?
Right. That leads to the second and third flags. You'll often find synthetic preservatives used to maintain shelf life. Common examples are potassium sorbate or sodium benzoate. High-quality brands will often rely on natural methods or just superior processing to maintain stability.
And the third flag.
The third factor is the base-made options are diluted with alcohol. It acts as a preservative, sure, but it can really detract from the user experience.
Especially for people sensitive to it or just avoiding alcohol.
Exactly.
That sets up a really clear distinction. And what's fascinating here is the strategy of the benchmark product we're looking at, Nutriharmony. It seems to be the intentional opposite of all those market shortcuts.
It is. They prioritize a kind of radical simplicity.
How so?
Well, that simplicity is a deliberate marketing and quality choice. Instead of blending or using synthetic preservatives, they focus on a simple, singular ingredient profile.
Which maximizes transparency.
Absolutely. If there's only one herb listed, the focus shifts entirely to the quality of the extraction and the purity of that raw material.
But wait, if they're sticking to just one ingredient, isn't there a risk they miss out on some of the synergistic benefits you hear about with traditional complex herbal blends? Is purity always the best metric here?
That's a really important question.
Mm-hmm.
The research suggests that for a single focus product that's intended for general, gentle respiratory support, the primary risk for you, the consumer, is contamination or inconsistency.
Not a lack of synergy.
Right. By focusing on quality and transparency, they mitigate those bigger risks first. They're basically banking on the integrity of the verbascum thapsus itself.
Okay, that discussion pivots perfectly to the high-quality benchmark, which is probably the most critical takeaway for you today. How do you identify that commitment to quality in such a chaotic market?
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking for that quality nugget, our sources strongly, strongly emphasize the importance of the USDA organic certification.
This is, I would say, non-negotiable for establishing a premium tier in this space. While so many Molein products claim to be natural, getting and keeping that USDA organic certification, that places the product in a significantly higher segment.
Because it imposes rigorous standards.
It does.
And what exactly does that certification require? I mean, it's got to be more than just, you know, the plant wasn't treated with chemical pesticides, right?
Oh, it's far broader than just pesticides. For a botanical extract, organic certification ensures that the soil quality is monitored, that heavy metals, which herbs can absorb from the ground.
Right, they're prone to that.
Very. It ensures those are kept below strict limits and that the handling and processing methods maintain the integrity of the herb itself without synthetic aids.
So given the history here, the fact that Molein is often collected from fields, these certifications offer vital assurance against common contaminants.
Absolutely vital.
So if we synthesize that benchmark formulation, the checklist you need when you're reviewing a label is actually pretty concise.
It is.
You're looking for the USDA organic certification, a simple, clean herbal extract without synthetic preservatives, and a non-alcohol liquid format.
A format designed for maximal digestibility and a better taste profile.
Exactly.
But we have to move beyond just the ingredient list to talk about the trust and reliability factors.
Okay.
The things that these small private labels so often fail to provide because they just don't have the infrastructure.
I remember you mentioning logistical stability as a quality indicator, and I have to push back just a little on that. Isn't that just a business metric, like good supply chain management? Why should I, as the consumer, care about stable stock levels if the ingredients are good?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture of quality control, it speaks volumes about commitment and investment. A small fly-by-night operation that struggles with consistent shipping, that struggles to maintain stock.
Yeah.
It's highly unlikely they're investing heavily in other crucial areas like analytical testing.
So you're saying unstable logistics might signal inconsistent sourcing and maybe a lack of batch-to-batch testing.
Precisely. Consistency is the hallmark of quality. Trustworthy U.S. production means compliance with strict current good manufacturing practices, or CGMP. Small labels often cut corners there.
I see.
An established brand that can guarantee stable consistency, batch after batch, and reliable logistics. They are demonstrating a long-term investment in maintaining those CGMP standards and that analytical testing rigor.
And what about the established customer support system you mentioned earlier?
It's the final silent indicator of trust. If a company has invested in a robust system where you can actually reach a human to resolve issues, they have a genuine commitment to their product and to your safety.
So these operational details, stock levels, consistent shipping, support, they are critical evidence of long-term integrity that goes beyond the ingredient list itself.
It really transcends the ingredient list.
That's a great perspective, linking operational efficiency directly to chemical consistency. Okay, let's move to the user experience. What are the people who actually buy high-quality Molein drops saying?
Well, the user reports really emphasize an appreciation for that simplicity we've been talking about, that clean ingredient list. They note the gentle action of the extract, and importantly for a liquid, they find that the lack of alcohol or strong additives results in no harsh aftertaste.
Which is a major hurdle for a lot of herbal liquids.
It's a huge hurdle.
It even seems like the physical product design gets noted. I saw users pointing out better bottle quality compared to the cheaper brands.
It's those little details that reinforce the premium positioning. And as for the usage routine, it's very accessible for adults. Usually it's a single daily dose of drops added to water.
And people typically integrate this into their routine during seasonal changes or just whenever they feel they need some general respiratory comfort.
That's the main use case, yeah.
Now, we absolutely have to reinforce the context here, which our materials make very clear. This is a wellness supplement.
Yes.
It is not a medical treatment.
Yeah.
It's designed to support general respiratory well-being and maintenance, not cure or treat specific conditions.
That distinction is key. And if we look at why users switch from budget products, it often comes down to just disappointment with inconsistency.
So they start cheap and then upgrade.
Yeah, they started with something cheaper, maybe an alcohol tincture or a highly diluted blend, and they quickly found limitations in flavor or efficacy or production quality. So they switch, seeking that guaranteed high-quality organic profile, that stable consistency, and the security of a trustworthy supply chain.
That brings us to the end of our deep dive. We've really covered the ground. From the soothing compounds in the Verbascum thapsus plant to the highly regulated commitment of an organic supplement benchmark.
And the lesson here is that defining quality in this crowded niche, it requires a checklist that looks beyond just the basic claims. You have to look for rigorous certification, specifically USDA organic.
Mm-hmm.
You need an intentional focus on simple, transparent ingredients to maximize purity and the overall operational stability of the brand itself, demonstrated through consistent production and reliable logistics.
So you now have the full set of tools, the botanical knowledge, and the market criteria to discern which herbal supplements truly represent a high-quality commitment versus just a rushed budget alternative.
And since we've established that the market is currently overwhelmed by small, unstandardized private labels, this raises an important question for you to mull over as you navigate the wellness landscape.
Go on.
When you're selecting any natural product intended for daily, long-term wellness, and you have a choice between two products with clean ingredient lists, how heavily should you weigh logistical stability and established customer support alongside the ingredients themselves as indicators of a company's commitment to long-term product integrity?
It's not just about what's in the bottle.
It's about the company that puts it there.